If you have your Bibles, I'm going to the book of Mark, chapter number 2. I'm going to look at some verses of scripture there, and I will attempt to be able to minister to you the best that I can from the text, and hopefully teach you something or inspire you or provoke you into a deeper walk with Him. We're going to begin a new sermon series, I think, this morning, simply entitled it, Come and See. And I wanted to deal with how Jesus encountered certain people through the Gospels and how He was recognized. There were certain characteristics and attributes that kind of stood out. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about how Jesus appeared in the Gospels and how He interacted and how people encountered Him and what they took away from that. And this week, we're going to be talking about come and see the healer. How many of you believe that God is still a healer? Come on, somebody. Still believe that He is a healer today. It didn't end. It didn't end when the last apostle died. It didn't end when the turn of the first century church, it didn't end then. Healing is still prevalent and healing is still meant for us today. And so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to the book of Mark. If you don't, the text will be here on the screen and you're welcome to follow along with me as I read the text. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. That's probably the best church growth strategy that anybody can have. Just get Jesus in the house. Because look what happened in verse 2. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. Look at your neighbor and tell him, we need more Jesus. We need more Jesus. Watch this. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by 4 men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let the bed down with the paralytic, which was lying thereon. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Verse 12, immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out of the presence of them all. And so they were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Come on, let's enter into a time of prayer. You pray for me and I pray for you, and we'll see where the Lord leads us on this glorious Sunday morning. But I need you to lock in and I need you to pray. Are you ready? Come on, stretch your hands this way. Pray for this preacher today. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege and opportunity to once again stand on this platform to preach to your people today, God. I pray, Lord, that our hearts and our minds and our spirits would be open wide, God, to hear what you would say to us this morning. God, I pray that you would take this mind, take this tongue, take this vessel, Lord, and use it for your namesake, use it for your glory. Help me, God, to preach this word the way you intended it for it to be preached. Help me, God, to preach it with such power, with such an anointing, God, that it'll change and transform lives, break every yoke, break every bondage in this place, God. May the captive go free. Speak to our hearts and change our lives from this day forward, God. Let us not remain the same, but let us leave this place changed under the power of the anointing of the Spirit of the Almighty. We lift up the rest of this service to you, God, and we ask you to have your way, have your will. Move as you see fit today, I pray, in the mighty, in the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, one more time. Give God a hand clap of praise in this place. Thank you, Angel. I'll let you have a moment or two to catch your breath, and then I'll invite you back here in just a moment to help me conclude this service. Have you ever had one of those moments when you felt like you just couldn't break through? Anybody ever deal with a time where you just felt like you wanted to, you've been praying, you've been believing, you've been trusting, but every time you feel like you make a little bit of progress, you feel like maybe you hit another wall. It's the old proverbial, you take one step forward and two steps back. You try to grow spiritually, but distractions and doubts keep piling up. You've been asking God to move, but it only feels like another door is being shut in your face. I think we've all been there. I think we've been in that frustrating place where you know that God is doing something, but you don't see any movement in it. Lord knows I can relate to that. I know what that feels like. I know from just being a pastor for 22 years, I've seen the ebb and flow, the ups and downs of pastoring people. I've seen the ebb and flow and the ups and downs. I've seen the obstacles of trying to attract people, grow churches and all of that, and host the presence of God. I've been there, done that, got a t-shirt for it. I remember in recent years after the COVID shutdowns, we reopened the church. And when we reopened the church, I was naive enough to believe that everybody's going to want to come back and the place will be packed just like it was before. And I was 100% completely wrong. I remember coming in here on a Sunday morning when we first reopened, thinking the place will be packed, people will be hungry and anxious to get back into church and worship the Lord. And when we opened up the doors, we had about 40 to 50 people show up in this building. What's interesting about that is 30 of them were part of the worship team and their families. So imagine standing up on a platform and preaching to a building that seats over 300 and seeing 20 people looking at you. Yay. And so I still preach like my hair was on fire. I wasn't moved by what it was that I saw. But I will tell you, I did have some internal conflicts. And I did feel like, God, I've been so faithful and I don't know what's happening. And we would pray and we would seek and we would make phone calls and we would do everything we can to get people to come back. And it just felt like we would hit another obstacle. There would be another barricade. It'd feel like another door was being closed. The internal struggle became so real. I even got to the place where I struggled and thought, well, maybe my season is over. Maybe I've preached all that I was supposed to preach. Maybe I've used it all up and God is done with me and it's time to move on to the hills of West Virginia and live off the land down there. And then I realized I have soft hands and I can't do that. I've been turning Bible pages for 22 years and now you're going to go become Amish. Ha ha. Good luck with that. And so anyway, it was another obstacle. It was another dilemma. It felt like another door being shut. And then I thought, okay, I just don't think I can handle it. I can't handle having to rebuild. I had no desire to try to rebuild. I remember the blood, the sweat, the tears, everything that went into growing the church initially. And do I really want to do this again? And I came back with a resounding no. But God had other plans. He put a man in my life that absolutely refused to let me quit. And I was ready to quit. And I wanted to quit. And I was talking to him in his driveway about quitting. And he didn't even come to this church. And he said, whatever you do, don't quit. And I said, okay. He was convincing. God was in that moment. It was one of those God moments where you ever have those moments where you just feel like, man, God is here. You know, you get the chicken skin and the hair stands up on the back of your neck. And you're like, this is a God moment. And I remember driving home from his house with tears in my eyes going, God, okay, I will reengage and I'll give it everything I got. And this guy's going to help me do it. And together we'll make this thing happen. And boy, was I excited. We were going to do it. And then a couple of months later, he died unexpectedly, suddenly. Another obstacle, another door being shut, another setback in my life. And then me balling up my fist, being frustrated and angry about the whole situation. God, but I thought you said. God, I thought this was where I was supposed to go. I thought this was the direction I was supposed to go in. And another felt like another door being shut in my face. And then as I wallowed in that and cried and whined about that in front of God, and I whined and cried in front of you all about that, and you all were so patient with me, and you kept praying for me, and I thank you for that. You have no idea what that does for me to be able to come in here every Sunday after Sunday, you putting up with that, and I love you for that. I honor you for that. I bless you for that. And then I got to the place where I said, okay, it was in June of 2022, all right, or around May, I was going to Texas to perform a wedding ceremony for Cody and Maddie. In fact, I saw Cody's little boy Knox up here worshiping. If you don't worship like him, he was up here dancing. Noria, I don't know if you saw it. He had a truck in one hand and a giraffe in the other. And I thought, that's what the church is missing. We need a truck in this hand and a giraffe in this hand. Then I can really get my swerve on. And he was happy and he was doing it. I said, and a child shall lead them. Where's my giraffe? And so on the way there, we stopped in Nashville, Tennessee, and I went to a church there with a friend, a cousin of mine. I visited his church, and as I was in there, I felt like the Lord started dealing with me, and I said, you know what? We used to do this. We used to be like this. I'm sure I can get back to that place, and I got excited about it, and driving for the next several days to Texas and in Texas and driving all the way back, I just started pouring my heart out. Tina was over there with a pad and a pen, and she was capturing every thought that I was saying, writing down vision, writing down strategies, writing it all down. We were getting excited about it. We got back here. We packed up our truck. We drove down to West Virginia. We're going to just get away, isolate, seclude. We're going to pray this thing into fruition. We're going to get in front of God, and we're going to get the mind of God, and we're going to drill this thing down. We're going to get God's plan on how we're going to rebuild, reconstruct, and re-implement and relaunch Riverside Church. And we spent a whole week in prayer, a whole week before God, and we get to the very last day. It's a Friday morning. I can remember it vividly. I'm feeling good, and I get up. I grab a cup of coffee. I walk outside. I sit on the porch of our cabin. I'm looking out over the fields and I see deer frolicking, and I thought, this is great. This is the day that the Lord has made. But why am I having chest pains right now? What is this all about? Probably just indigestion. You know, I had some s'mores the night before, and I hate s'mores. S'mores are the dumbest thing. That is dumb. I don't know how you guys eat those things. They are awful. I can never get the marshmallow hot enough to melt the chocolate, and I'm over there biting on chocolate. I got chocolate on my teeth, burnt marshmallow stuck to the roof of my mouth, and a graham cracker in my beard. And I go, why do we eat these things? And this is probably just indigestion. Stay with me now. I talk fast sometimes. Stick with me. This is just indigestion, Jeremy. And Tina went and got me some Tums, and I took those Tums, and it wasn't going away. And then she said, we got a 6-hour drive in front of us. Why don't we stop by the emergency room? Just let them check you out. And I thought, this is gas. This is embarrassing. I'm not doing this again. But then I remember another time where I was having gas pains. And I told Tina, I'm not going to the hospital. These are just gas pains. And she said, I want you to go to the hospital. And I said, I'm not going. It's gas. It will be embarrassing. She drags me to the hospital. I get there. And they go, what's wrong with you? And I go, my wife made me come here. I have gas pains. This is embarrassing. I don't need to be here. I'm a man. I should be at home right now. And they said, well, let's just look you over since you're here. And they looked me over while I was there, and they said, Mr. Evans, you're going in for emergency surgery right now. Your appendix ruptured. And I remember that when I was telling Tina, this is just gas pains. I don't need to go to the emergency room. I'm not going to a doctor. Let's just get in the truck and drive home, and I'll be fine on the way up the road. And she said, no, you better stop. And so we stopped. And I know a lot of you know the story, but we have a lot of new folks here that may not know. We stopped in the emergency room. They drew blood. I'm over there going, it's probably just gas. I probably shouldn't be here. And we were there for about an hour. And they said, Mr. Evans, how are you feeling? I said, well, I'm not feeling terrible. I mean, I got this. It's like just a nagging problem here in this area. It's more my abdomen. It's not really my chest. I don't know what it is. And he said, well, Mr. Evans, we looked at your blood work and your troponin levels have tripled in the last hour. And I went, I'm a pastor. I have no idea what that means. Jeremy does, and George probably does, and those of you in the medical field probably knows what troponin levels are. I had no idea what troponin was. I'm like, I don't know what that is. Is that a good thing? Can I go home? He said, no, Mr. Evans, that's not a good thing. Well, why not? It means you're having a heart attack. I said, when? Now. So I don't have time for that. I got to drive home. I don't have time for that. And so, no, we've got to get an ambulance here. We've got to get you to another hospital. We're not equipped to do surgery on you, but we've got to get you in for emergency heart surgery. You're having a heart attack right now. We get to the hospital. They check me out, and they say, oh, that heart attack. And the doctor was so nonchalant about it. I guess in West Virginia, because we deep fry everything there and put gravy on it, they're used to this. I'm not. And they said, you know what? Have you ever heard of the widow's maker? That's where your blockage is. It's in your widow's maker. You could have died. And I was like, don't tell my wife that. She was standing right here when she heard that. And I was like, this is not going to be good. It was another setback. I had already prayed. I had already sought the Lord. I was ready to go. We're going to relaunch. We're going to redo. We're going to do all of this. And then lo and behold, this hits. Now, this is one of those things where you just feel like you're on the edge of a breakthrough and another door gets slammed in your face. And I'm like, what in the world is happening? Obviously, the hand of God is against me. Maybe God really is done with me. Maybe I'm not supposed to do this anymore. Maybe I should just stop after all. And then I tried to come back and I tried to preach. Some of you remember that. I'm up here just not even a week past having heart surgery, up here with a microphone in my hand, because sometimes I am not the smartest person on the planet. And I thought I could still preach, and I was preaching. I was huffing and puffing and breathing really hard. And that lasted for a few weeks. And finally somebody said, you should probably take some time off. And I said, you know what? You're right. We should. And ended up taking several weeks off, probably about 6 or 7 weeks of just trying to rest, and didn't even go to church, didn't come to church, stayed at home and just kind of took it easy. And during that time, I looked at Tina and I said, if we were going to quit, if we were going to get out, if we were going to stop, this would be the time to do it, and nobody would bat an eye, and people would have grace and forgiveness and they would be good with it. Do you want to quit? And I went, no, I don't. What else am I going to do? Where else can I go? And what else am I going to do? I still feel like I've got something burning on the inside of me. I feel like there's something that still needs to be done. I'm just talking to you about being frustrated, being in a place where you're just like, but what if? What if you're wanting a breakthrough? You're pushing for a breakthrough. You're believing for a breakthrough. You're believing for a miracle. And all it takes is just one more prayer. What if it's just one more prayer? What if it's just one more push? What if it's just one more praise? What if it's just one more belief? What if it's just one more Sunday you show up? What if it's just one more? What if God's just passed one more? What if it's that? What if it's that? Touch your neighbor and say, just push one more time. What if what God is waiting for you is to stop looking at the crowds? Remember when they showed up with the man on the stretcher, there were crowds there. There were crowds. They couldn't get near Jesus. What if when they saw the crowds, they said, you know what, let's just go back. No, they saw the crowds and they said, we've got to be innovative. We've got to be creative. We've got to do something different. And they started to climb the roof. That's what today's message is about. We all know that place where we face obstacles. We all know when you start praying. You ever start praying? You ever get into those moments where I'm just going to start believing God? I'm going to start trusting God. I'm going to start praying and I'm going to start fasting. We're going to start doing that. And the minute you start doing that, life just gets harder. Life gets more challenging. Life gets more difficult. Life just comes at you harder. You start believing. And then have you ever been like, I'm going to believe for more. I'm going to trust God for more. And then out of nowhere, you start getting, the enemy starts attacking you. All these spiritual attacks are just being unleashed on you. And you're believing for healing. You're believing that God's going to heal your body. But you get another diagnosis and it's worse than the one before. And when you get to that place, you get like I did, and sometimes it's tempting just to give up. It's tempting to throw in the towel. It's tempting to just quit and say, well, maybe it's not God's will. And it's tempting to settle for less than what God has promised. But what if the breakthrough isn't about waiting for the right moment? What if the breakthrough comes when you get to the place where you say, I refuse to give up? And some of you have been right on the brink of a miracle, right on the brink of a breakthrough, right on the brink. You've endured for a night and joy is getting ready to come in the morning and you're about ready to quit. And I just come by to let you know today, whatever you do, don't you quit now. Don't quit right now. You are so close, baby. You are so close. Don't give up right now. You have endured and you have gone this far. What if you just have to press on just a little bit more? What if it's just press on just a little bit harder and just a little bit further? What if God is calling you to push through the crowd? What if God's calling you up on a roof? Come up a little bit higher and tear this roof up. What if God's calling you just one more time? Get into my presence no matter what it takes. That's what faith does. Faith isn't passive. Faith moves. Faith presses in. Faith tears down barriers. Faith refuses to be denied. You've got to get some tenacity about you and refuse to be denied. And push in just one more time. That's what's happening here in the book of Mark, chapter number 2. The Bible says that in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, or the beginning of it, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. If you're writing notes, write this down. Jesus responds to bold faith. Jesus responds to faith. Jesus had returned to Capernaum, and the house was so full that no one could get through the door. The crowd was pressing in, but four men refused to let that stop them. I was reading that, and the only thing that I could think, Carmela, was this: four of a kind beats a full house every single time. They were carrying, some of you don't play poker. That's all right. That's all right. I want to invite you to my next poker night. I don't have a poker night. Chill, chill. Not that you know of. Anyway, I don't. They were carrying their paralyzed friend on a stretcher, and they knew that if they could just get him in front of Jesus, everything would change. Have you ever been to that place? If I could just get in front of the Lord, if I could just get to church, if I could just get there, if I could just get on my, if I could just get some alone time with him, I know everything can change. Is there anybody in this room that still believes that if I could just get in his presence, I know everything will be all right? If I could just get to church, I can't tell you how many times I've been enduring and suffering through the week, and all I could think is if I could just get back to the house of the Lord on a Sunday to mix it up, get in the mix with my brothers and sisters of like faith, if I could just get in one more church service, I know everything is going to be all right. And I love it when they got there and they saw the crowd. They could have turned back, but they didn't. They could have said maybe another day, but they didn't. What they did was they climbed up on a roof, they tore it open, and they lowered their friend down in front of Jesus. And the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith. Notice what it didn't say. It didn't say when he saw their effort, when he saw their desperation. No, it said when he saw their faith. Some of you have been cutting yourself with rocks, thought, if I pray harder, if I fast more, if I dance harder, and those things are good, and I'm glad you do them, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus wasn't looking at their effort. He was looking at their faith. Jesus will respond to faith 100% of the time. And it said, when he saw their faith. Touch everybody on your row and tell them, faith is action. Faith is action. Faith is pressing in when it's hard. Faith is pushing in when it's hard. Faith is refusing to stop when you know Jesus is the answer. Anybody can have faith when it's sunshine and lollipops. But what do you do when it's the dark night of the soul? What do you do when all hell's breaking loose? What do you do when you're wading through hell and high water? What do you do when the flames are higher? What do you do when you want to give up and you want to quit and you've been wringing your hands? Faith will say, whatever you do, don't you quit. Don't you stop. Don't you give up right now. You got to keep pushing. Push your way through the crowd. They didn't ask the crowd to move. They didn't ask for anybody's permission. Faith climbs up on the roof and rips the roof off. That's what faith does. You know what faith does? Faith runs down to the altar and says, I refuse to get up off this altar until I feel my breakthrough. Faith says, I'll worship him until I got no more voice left, no more tears left. My sweat is still because of my clothes to stick to my body. Faith says, I refuse to move until he shows up and he answers. Come on, somebody that knows what I'm talking about. Give God praise in this place. Give him glory in this house. Faith refuses to be denied. Said Jesus responded, not because the paralyzed man asked him to, but because he saw the faith of his friends. Hold on a second, Tish. Not the faith of the paralytic. Not the faith of the man who was in need, but the faith of his friends. If God's taken people out of your life recently, they might have been the wrong friends. And maybe God's joining you up with some new friends. This is the kind of friend I need right here. I need friends that when I'm wanting to quit, wanting to give up, wanting to throw in the towel, say, you lay on the stretcher and I'll carry you. Come on, you need friends. If you don't have friends that are carrying you, you got the wrong friends. You better find you some new friends. Hey,
God might be joining you up with a new company, a new family, a new whatever to get you. You're going to need some people who's going to be able to carry you. And I thank God for some friends. I thank God for this church. I thank God for folks that when I wanted to quit, they refused to let me go. They refused to let me turn around. They refused to let me go back. I thank God for elders who know how to pray. I thank God for pastors that know how to pray and intercede and intervene and encourage. I thank God for people that aren't afraid to grab the corners of a stretcher and say, preacher, you lay there and we'll carry you. We'll do the bench pressing. We'll do the heavy lifting. If we got to drag you there, we'll drag you there. And God joined you up with a church that if you need it, we're going to carry you, drag you, pull you, push you, prod you, whatever it takes to get you there. Thank God for friends that got faith. That's what you need. You don't need friends that are influencers. You don't need friends with money. You don't need friends like that. You need friends that know how to pray, friends that know how to worship, friends who know how to clap until their hands turn purple, people that know how to worship, people who know how to touch the throne of God, people that know how to lace up your boots, put on your backpack. It's time to... The miracle was set in motion because someone believed. Their faith became the access point for the power of God to flow. Can I tell you what I've been sensing in this house? I've been sensing faith rising up in this house. I've been sensing for the last couple of months faith is on the rise at Riverside Church, and God is calling us to step beyond hesitation and into boldness. God's been waiting for us to step into this new moment, to step into this new thing, to step into this new time. You've been waiting for the right time, and God's saying, you've waited long enough. Now is the time. Now is the time to act. All you've got to do is push through the obstacles. Don't wait for perfect conditions, but step into the presence of Jesus right now. Let me ask you this. Who should you be carrying into the presence of Jesus? Who should you be carrying? Someone in your family is bound by addiction. Will you tear the roof off in prayer for them? Some of them need a healing. Will you tear the roof off for them? Somebody you know is walking through depression right now. Will you carry them into the presence of the Lord? Come on, somebody. You shouted me down a minute ago. Don't shout me down here. Look at your neighbor and say, this is not the time to sit back. This is not the time to rest. This is not the time. This is not that now is the time. We've got to carry some people in to the presence of Jesus. There's some situations you're faced with that you're dealing with, that you've been wrestling with. You've been trying to rationalize, figure it all out. You've been trying to use logic to figure it all out. And really what you need is Jesus. And what you need to do is be in his presence. And what you need to do is get them into his presence. Do whatever necessary. Do whatever it takes. Become all things to all men, so by all means some of them might be saved. Do what you got to do to get them into the house of the Lord. God is in this place and something is happening, and if you'll just get them here, God will take care of the rest. Number two, I'll get to point number two. We're probably not going to make it through all of them unless you shout and say, go ahead. Okay, good enough. Go well, then I will. I mean, I'm sweating like a fat kid at a pie eating contest, but I'll get through it. Jesus deals with the root of the issue first. Mark chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. He said, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? When the paralyzed man was lowered before Jesus, the obvious needs was physical healing. But that's not what Jesus addressed first. It was obvious the man couldn't walk. It was obvious the man was paralytic. This is his problem, Jesus. This is what you need to deal with. And when they lowered him down in front of Jesus, Jesus didn't even mention anything about him being paralyzed. Jesus looked at him and said, son, your sins are forgiven. Well, wait a minute, Jesus, can you not discern and recognize this man's got issues right now? He said, yeah, he can see it. But the issues that you're trying to fix are temporal. The issue he wanted to fix was eternal. And sometimes we come into his presence wanting him to fix some external things. And really what he wants to do is fix some internal things. You want him to fix a broken leg. He wants to fix a broken heart. Jesus wasn't just after a miracle. Jesus was after restoration. Jesus didn't just want to heal the man's legs. He wanted to heal the man's soul. Jesus knew that physical healing without spiritual wholeness would only be temporary. Sometimes the thing you need or the thing you think you need is not the thing that you really need. And here there are some religious people around him. Man, you always got those folks. And they thought, who does this man think he is? Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus said, yeah, that's exactly the point. That's why I'm here. And Jesus was revealing his true identity. He wasn't just the healer. He was God in the flesh. And he wasn't just offering a better life. He was offering an eternal life. Here's the prophetic insight that I have from this. Some of you have been asking God to fix your situation, but he's really interested in fixing your heart. Some of you are looking for a quick fix, and Jesus is looking to do a deep work. Some of you are looking for him to patch up a thing over here, and he's not interested in patching it up. He's interested in changing a heart. And I know that some of you are faced with some real life issues, some really challenging issues, some really difficult issues. And I'm just here to preach to you and let you know that the thing that you think you need is not the thing that you probably really need. And if you'll just be patient and get in his presence and let him do heart surgery on you, you'll start to see the other things start to turn around. You've got to learn to trust that he knows the end from the beginning. He knows what he needs to do in your life better than what you know needs to be done in your life. After all, he is sovereign. He is God. He sits on a throne all by himself. He's got a perspective way different than yours. And what he's trying to do is in here, not outside of you, but what's in you. And sometimes God delays fixing the outside of you because he's more focused on fixing what's on the inside of you. Just put your hand on your heart and say, God, do what you got to do. God, do what you got to do. God, do what you got to do. Fixing your situation without fixing your heart, here's the problem. Here's why he's interested in the heart, because fixing your situation without fixing your heart will lead to you repeating the same cycle again. It'll lead you back into the same abysmal detriment that you found yourself in initially. He's got to fix this. Remember the Israelites, God provided for them in the wilderness, but their hearts were hardened and remained hard, and they were 40 years wandering. Remember King David, God gave him a throne, yet he had to refine David's heart through a season of waiting and a season of hardships. Here's what you need to understand. If you want to get a hold of something, get a hold of this. God is not ignoring your prayers. He's working on a deeper level. Touch your neighbor and say, let him go deeper, let him go deeper, let him go deeper. Here's what you need to understand. He's shaping your character. He's building your faith. He's teaching you to trust him when things aren't going your way. He's preparing you to handle, watch this, he's preparing you to handle the blessing when it actually does come. Because if he were to give you the blessing right now with the current condition of your heart, you would abort that thing. You would abuse that thing. You would misuse that thing. And he's saying, what I want to put in your hands, I can't trust you with it right now because you'll do too much damage with it. Let me get your heart right. And if I could get your heart right, and maybe that's why God delayed after COVID to get to the place where we are right now to say, now I'll start trusting you with some folks, and now I'll start sending you some folks, and now I'll start letting some folks come in, because he had to get this right. He had to get this right. He had to do heart surgery on me in the natural and in the spiritual. Why? Because I believe with all of my heart he wants to bestow and he wants to bless and he wants to put something in this house that this house has never experienced or seen before. And he wants to make sure that we handle it right this time. We deal with it right this time. We don't abuse it. We don't try to steady it with our hands. We don't try to put our hands on it. We just let him have your way, have your will. We're not going to control it. We're not going to try to get a hold of the Spirit of God. We're going to let the Spirit of God breathe and have his way any way he wants to. Can you say amen? Come on, touch your neighbor and tell him he's getting you ready to handle the blessing when it comes. He's just getting you ready to handle it when he puts it in your hands. Then you'll be in a place, you'll be positioned, you'll be able to handle this thing when he puts it in your hands. Not only that, but I'm convinced then you'll really be able to honor him and bless him and praise him appropriately. Then you'll know what it is to give thanks unto him for all the things that he has done. Then you'll know what it is to be appreciative of him when he gives you the thing that he's been wanting to put in your hands. Then you'll have an appreciation for it.
He's just getting you ready for it now. He's not ignoring you. Just because it's been delayed absolutely doesn't mean it's been denied. Touch your neighbor and tell him it's on the way. It might be delayed, but it's still coming. Good God Almighty, can I preach this for just a moment? It might be delayed, but it's still coming. It's still on the way. If you could just keep looking, you'll see it. It'll be here in just a moment. God doesn't operate like Amazon on 2-day Prime. God's got it coming your way, though. Just hang on, darling. Hang on. It'll be here in just a moment. And when it does, when you get it, when it's in your hands, you ought to be able to give him the craziest, wildest, most radical praise that you have ever offered him. In fact, I'll help you out. I'll let you practice praising him right now for the thing that's coming your way. Why don't you take a moment and practice what you're going to do when you get it? Practice how you're going to sound. Come on. Practice how you're going to behave when he puts it in your hand. Come on. Practice how it's going. I can't get no help in here. I can't hear nobody in here. I don't think you're ready yet. I don't think you're ready yet. Come on, if you've been praying, you've been believing, you've been waiting, praise him like you've already got it. Praise him like it's already been done. Praise him like it's already in your hand. Praise him in this place. Yes, come on, shout. Shout unto God with a voice. Shout.
See, you got to understand something. God is not just after your comfort. He's after your heart. And you're wanting him to make you comfortable. I'm not interested in making you comfortable. I'm interested in changing who you are. See, the delay is not denial. It's just preparation. Number three. Angel, I don't know how many more of these I'm going to get through, but you better come on up here and then... If we don't finish, we don't finish. I'll archive it into the place of sermons that never got finished. I have a feeling we're going to run into a lot of those in this year to come. There are going to be sermons that never got finished. Jesus confirms his authority. If you're a note taker, you can write this down. Jesus confirms his authority with power. He said, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all. Jesus knew that the religious leaders were doubting him. They thought, it's easy to say your sins are forgiven because you can't see that. So it's easy to say that. So Jesus says, let me give you a demonstration that you can't ignore. He says, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, he turned to the paralyzed man and said, arise, take up your bed and walk. Can you put that up there? Can you put verse 11 up there for me, please, on the screen? I want them to see this. And then I'm going to say some things. And then I don't know what's going to happen after that. Just here we go. He said, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go to your house. Put the next one up, please, verse 12. Go back. We'll go back to this first screen. Go back to 11. I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go to your house. Now the next one. Huh? Can I prophesy something to somebody in this room today? You're getting ready to step into your season of immediately. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody. I'm preaching to somebody. Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to? Riverside, I prophesy over this church. I prophesy over you, Riverside. You've been waiting, you've been believing, and you've been praying. You're getting ready to step into your season of immediately, immediately, immediately. No more waiting, no more delaying, no more hesitation. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody in here. Immediately is coming your way. Immediately is at the door knocking. Immediately. Immediately he's going like this. Immediately he's going like this. Immediately saying, weeping may endure for a night, but joy, or in this case, immediately, comes in the morning. Come on, somebody. You're getting ready to step in to your season of immediately. I'm preaching to somebody in here right now. Immediately. No more waiting. No more hesitation. Your breakthrough is going to happen immediately. Your miracle is going to happen immediately. Your increase is going to happen immediately. Your healing's coming immediately. God's no respecter of persons. If he did it for one, he could do it for you. Immediately, I prophesy, immediately in this house. Immediately in this house. You saw what he did. You saw what he did. He arose. He picked up his bed. The thing that carried him, he's now carrying. And he went out in the presence of them all. That's why when I said immediately, some of you jumped to your feet. So that's when we read the word immediately, you did what the man did. You arose. That's the proper response. When God hits you with an immediately, the proper response is to get up. The proper response is to get up. The proper, I love it, David. Get up, get up, get up. We were just singing a song. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Immediately he arose. Immediately he arose. Immediately he arose. Here's what I know. When Jesus speaks, things happen instantly. When Jesus opens his mouth, healing is instant. Deliverance is instant. Miracles are instant. When Jesus says move, nothing should stop you. When Jesus moves, nothing stops him. My God, you ought to praise him in this place. Come on. Get up out of your discouragement. Get up out of your addiction. Get up out of your depression. Get up out of your complacency. Get up out of your lethargy. Get up out of your pain. Get up out of your hurt. Get up out of your woundedness. Get up out of that sadness. Get up out of that melancholy. Get up out of that depression. Get up out of it today. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Get up! You've been stuck, but today I declare you are unstuck. High five everybody that's close to you. If you can reach them with your hand, high five them and say, I declare you're unstuck. Come on, just prophesy it over it. Speak it over them. Speak it over them. You're unstuck. Unstuck. Come on. Unstuck. High five them. Noriel, go around the building and high five them, Noriel. Tell them unstuck. 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 Go ahead. Unstuck. Unstuck. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. Eddie, walk around. High five them. Unstuck. Unstuck. Come on. Come on. Get up. 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 Come on, you ought to move. You ought to move. High five some people. High five some people. Tell them you're unstuck. 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 Come on, tell them.